Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. We now invite you to listen to part two in Renewable Energy in Barbados, Opportunities and Challenges for Businesses. Host is Tahir Bulbulia. Panelists are Misha Clark, Director of the Barbados Renewable Energy Association, BREA, Richard Singh, Technical Manager of Solar Dynamics Limited, and Rishi Panjwani, Agripreneur of InnoGrow Inc.
Rishi, as a young entrepreneur, what are some of the challenges you faced and how did you overcome them?
Many challenges, of course, nothing falls in our lap, but that makes the journey a lot more rewarding. And some of the challenges we face are, first, there's, as we all know, there's first movers advantage in the market, but there's also first movers disadvantage because we are, quote unquote, the guinea pig for a lot of things. So we would have started our journey in the sustainable agriculture back in 2016, 2017, when we brought in one of the first containerized farms in Barbados. And since then, it's been quite a long journey. There's been a lot of red tape and a lot of things that we've changed. But something as small as, you know, when the system first arrived in Barbados, it was a shipping container that was retrofitted to a farm, technically. And you know, something as small as the port authorities not being willing to classify the item as a piece of agricultural equipment, that was a challenge in itself. You know, things like these are real life challenges that we face, whereas the container was stuck in the port for over 3 months because of basically a reclassification issue on the container. So fast forwarding now to 7-8 years down the line, we're actually about 4 weeks out from completion on building the first, I would say, large-scale greenhouse facility in Barbados, just 16,000 square feet in Guinea plantation. And that would be possibly one of the bigger or the biggest farms of production in Barbados. And I mean, being able to get financing for that kind of project, again, someone mentioned IDB earlier and the help of the EU. We were able to access the Enhanced Credit Guarantee Fund, which made this a lot easier, made it more realistic, made it actually happen. So big thanks for those kind of things happening and pushing financing and stuff for entrepreneurs. And yeah, these are the issues that we faced. But again, with persistence, you will always be able to overcome them.
With persistence, you will always be able to overcome, indeed. I'm really enjoying the conversation and how it is transitioning and how we are really moving forward, going from the historical context, the policies that have been implemented as far back as 2005 all the way up now to 2025. That's 20 years ago, Misha. It seems like yesterday for many of us. For you guys who have been in the space, in this green economy space, Richard, we're around as an experienced campaigner. Misha, there's been much conversation around other forms of energy sources, solar, wind, bioenergy, and ocean energy. How does this fit into the long-term mission of Barbados?
Most definitely. We've definitely made, in terms of being a first mover, most of the significant steps forward through the use of solar PV. I think that just came first in a natural generation in terms of the what happened in terms of the technology and the decrease in the costs, which made the integration and the uptake of that penetration very easy for us. But there's definitely a role to play in terms of the use of other energy sources such as wind and such as bioenergy. We would have heard the minister speak in terms of the plans, in terms of the reinitiation of the Lamberts project. And wind has a very much significant role to play as we transition and helping us to move forward. Bioenergy and our base, how we're using things such as the generation of electricity from things such as aspects of the sugarcane growth. We would have saw that the University of the West Indies, through Dr. Legina Henry, was able to regenerate or utilize some of that in terms of producing now biofuels and we had the actual use of that into the use in terms of vehicles. So these alternative energy sources do definitely have a big role to play in terms of how we transition and how we transition effectively. The name of the game, as I mentioned, in terms of starting the discussion, is energy independence and energy security, and diversification is part of that. Ensuring that our energy mix is as diverse, is as robust, is as efficient as possible to ensure that that energy independence that we talked about actually translates in terms of effective energy security. And with it, all of the expected economic benefits that we hope to be achieved as a result thereof. Taking off my BREEA hat for a minute and putting off my HDF Caribbean hat, there's also the emergence of other new technologies such as green hydrogen, where we're utilizing the use of water. We're splitting, utilizing either solar PV or can be wind, which is your green source, which makes the production of the hydrogen, splitting the water molecule, which we know is H2 and O, splitting that to generate the hydrogen through the use of electrolysis process, storing that then into terms of the hydrogen fuel tanks. And that actually provides a buffer system and ensures that we have a level of stability, because it means with this new technology is a base load, firm base load type of technology. And what that means is that the source of the energy being produced once it's stored in the hydrogen fuel tanks and then utilized and transferred into electricity through the use of the fuel cell, is that the use of the hydrogen tanks provides us with our already embedded storage, where we're able to store the electricity during the night through the use of the hydrogen tanks and be able to act as a buffer reserve so that there's no intermittency into the process. So we're seeing the transition and growth in terms of the different phases in terms of which we're having the renewable energy integrated into different technologies, but we're also seeing the technologies also become as agile and creative, where we are not only solely intermittent, but where we are combining different forms of technology to create that level of grid stability that is needed to support this need in terms of going towards stable, reliable, and clean and energy independent Barbados.
Richard, as part of this conversation, I know Solar Dynamics focuses primarily on solar. What Misha just mentioned, do you see in the future Solar Dynamics being a part of this mission for like wind energy and the other forms of energy sources?
Yeah, Solar Dynamics focus is not only hot water. Let me correct that, right? As you would have heard me said at the beginning, we have transitioned from thermosiphon hot water systems into more robust hybrid hot water systems. So that's one aspect. We have also introduced what is called the air water generators. So we have machines that is able to generate water, clean, pure, 99% nature pure water that is made from the atmosphere. So you can have 100% pure, good tasting cold water without connecting to a plumbing source. We have also transitioned into what is called the solar cladding. Like you will see a Luca bond on many buildings here in Barbados, the tiles that decorate the outside of buildings. We have taken that a step further and through one of our partners and supplier created solar cladding. So buildings, we are aiming to make buildings self-sufficient. So if you don't have rooftops that can accommodate solar panels, then you do what is called the solar cladding on the outside of the building. Looks pretty, appealing to the eye, yet it produces electricity to power the operations of the building. So hybrid hot water system, air water generators, solar cladding. We've also, in terms of our solar PV, we have taken that a step further as well in terms of our storage systems. And so we are offering a product which we are the authorized agent for the entire English-speaking Caribbean. We're a smaller backup energy system. So business no longer have to shut down if there is a power outage from the grid. And they don't have space on their rooftops for large amount of solar panels or storage batteries. We have been able to combine that and condense that into systems that can offer backup, energy backup for many hours. We have introduced in Barbados solar air conditioners and hybrid air conditioners. So solar air conditioners take people completely off buying energy from the grid and being able to power their solar, their air conditioning system, being at home or in their businesses, purely from solar. But also we have introduced hybrid where you can use solar and electricity. So in the daytime, they utilize the sun to power their air conditioners, and in the nighttime, they buy from the electricity grid. So we have introduced innovations and products in the marketplace, in the whole energy mix, towards a greener Barbados, towards a greener economy, towards more self-sufficiency. As Rishi, they're offering food in terms of self-sufficiency. We are offering a myriad of products to make business, to make homes, to make corporate Barbados more self-sufficient.
Rishi, as you said earlier, you are in one of the first movers in the industry. What advice would you offer someone who may want to start a business similar to what you are doing today, or perhaps just in the green economy, the green sector? What advice would you offer?
Being frank, dive right in. I'm kidding. But yes, dive right in, but also do your research, do your due diligence. Speak to people like me. You know, I'm an open book. Anyone can call me, ask me any questions. I'm happy to help. I want everyone to be, you know, involved in this. It's important not only for us, but for our future generations. You know, I'm a young dad, and I think about how my daughter is going to eat and how her kids eventually will eat as well. And these are the things that we need to be thinking of and be aware of whilst we're pursuing our goals in these industries.
Support is key, and, you know, access to capital, access to resources, even access to knowledge in some instances are challenging Barbados. What does BREA do to facilitate some of these challenges that young people, young entrepreneurs, and persons interested in joining the industry, what opportunities or what do y'all provide?
First of all, we encourage everyone to become, if you're going to be a participant in this set, so become a BREA member. Just a plug from some advertisement there for the Barbados Renewable Energy Association. But yes, we do encourage persons specifically who are businesses now entering into the space to become a member of the association. And you can visit our website where you can find at www.brea.bb access to our full categorization of membership and all of the membership benefits that comes with that. Because for exactly as you said, Tahiri, on the business element, we provide you with, it's important to have a robust understanding of the knowledge of what is happening within the sector to get an idea in terms of the pulse and what is is happening in terms of the business processing, what is happening in terms of the legislative and regulatory reviews, and we provide those types of opportunities and offerings to our membership. Even in terms for students, there's a category for students, and it's quite cheap. I believe $25, you can become a member of the Barbados Renewable Energy Association. That gives you access to any of our events, participation, or opportunities in terms of mentorship with any of our member associations. We have in the past taken on students from the University of the West Indies who have has interns within the Barbados Renewable Energy Association. And we've also been able to place those persons in some of the other companies, a number of the persons who would have interned with BREA at the time when we talk about providing that access would have gone on. I believe we have someone that is now at the Caribbean Center for Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency. She started as a BREA intern. She's now a project analyst. We would have had persons transitioned and gone to Williams Solar. So we provide that opportunity in terms of very much being in terms of internships for students, members, for young persons interested, and then also having the opportunity to be part of the sets in terms of gathering those business opportunities and retaining jobs. But I think our biggest role for our sector players and our industry professionals is that we usually act as an interlocker between what is happening at the industry and what is happening within government. And we sit on a regular basis and we have access in terms of working with the ministry in terms of sharing the challenges and concerns of the sector on behalf of our membership. So we do quite a bit of lobbying and advocacy support. And in the past, we have gone out quite a bit in terms of the community. Big for us in terms of 2025 is to begin to take on that whole of society approach again, a community focus where we actually allow persons to be part of this mandate towards 100% renewable energy. And we go out in the communities, get persons involved once again in knowing why BREA is here, what is the importance of taking advantage of this 100% renewable energy initiative or policy initiative, what is in it for you, but most importantly, how we can really start solving, working as an association, as we have done in the past, to solve some of the real challenges and threats that the sector is currently facing. Big for us right now are the issues pertaining to grid stability and our inability to be able to get systems on board. And we could come to that a little later.
Misha, just a follow-up question from that intervention as well. You know, partnerships are key, as you mentioned, and working with schools, working with NGOs, working with different institutions. Who are some of the partners BREA works alongside?
Richard or Misha?
Misha, sorry.
Misha, that's no problem. The University of the West Indies has been a long partner of the Barbados Renewable Energy Association. Whenever they have the masters, I think it might have gone on hiatus for a little bit, the masters in renewable energy, we usually partner with them in terms of taking on interns as well as our members. I would have mentioned Williams Solar, and Smart Inc., even in terms of Caribbean LED, have taken on members, the Barbados Lighthouse Power have taken on students from the University of the West Indies. We've also partnered with international agencies such as RMI, which would have supported us in the early days in terms of the development of our of template power purchase agreements, which act as important industry documentation where necessarily the local knowledge or skills sets weren't necessarily available, and we were able to leverage our work as an association to be able to partner with these type of agencies. We've also worked in the past with the CARICOM Secretariat, specifically the energy unit of the CARICOM Secretariat, in sharing with them the case study example, because Barbados really serves as a case study example for the drive towards 100% renewable energy and what is possible for the Caribbean. Barbados is taking a lot of the lead. So we have worked with the CARICOM Secretariat, specifically the energy unit, in the past, be able to say what was the Barbados model. And the Barbados model is very much built on one where there's heavy local participation and private sector participation in driving the sector forward, and the role of BREA in facilitating that as the lead sector body. What it means in terms of advocating, what it means in terms of lobbying and support, what it means in terms of providing oftentimes the knowledge through the research and development, where again, we've utilized the university to provide a number of the sector level information on what is needed to push the sector forward. So those are just a few of the examples of in terms of our partnerships.
Thank you, Misha. Partnerships are very critical. Rishi, we spoke on the challenges, we spoke on what's needed in the education sector, but before we close, Rishi, speak of the success of your project, of your baby, of your business that you have built from the ground to where it is today. Speak of some of the successes you've achieved.
That's a good thing. And it's always good to look back at the successes to give yourself some more motivation to keep going. And as I said, we started back in 2017. And to where we've come today, I'm quite proud to say that we've transitioned into a large facility, which is about. And that's a big thing to look into, more crops that are strictly imported. For example, strawberries in Barbados, almost all, or almost 100% of all strawberries in Barbados. But realistically, we need a fully climate control. So that's one of the crops that we're looking at for sure. And not only in Barbados, as I said, I mean, we're from here and we're starting here, but regionally, you know, this is a regional thing. This is something that we can take advantage of throughout the region.
Thank you. Thank you, Rishi. And we do appreciate having you on the program today and sharing from a young perspective. So thank you very much for sharing that success story and all those accomplishments you've achieved in the 8 years of your operation. Richard, we're going to jump back to you now. Richard, what would be your call to action? What would be your view of the sector in 5 years, ideally? Where would you want it to be looking forward based on where it has come from?
Well, we have made tremendous strides here. The progress of the industry is very, very commendable. I think we are really right there at the top in terms of where the Caribbean is in renewable energy, but there is a lot more to be gained. There's a lot more to accomplish, much more work to do. So in 5 years' time, I don't know that we can be completely 100% renewable, but I would like to see in 5 years' time we achieve at least 80% renewable in Barbados in terms of our energy production, in terms of our savings on fossil fuel, in terms of our green economy, reducing our pollution, in terms of how many more EVs we have on our streets. So I would like really to see development, growth in those areas. We are getting there. We're moving there. There are some setbacks. There are some hurdles to get over. But with the support of government, with the right legislations in place, I am sure we will be able to achieve about 80% renewable in 5 years' time. And I'm looking forward to that.
Certainly looking forward to that. And I really like how you've analyzed it and put that target up there and being very realistic. Misha, what would be your ideal? What would be your vision for the renewable sector, renewable energy sector in Barbados? What would be your ideal in 5 to 10 years? And even for the next generations to come, say 50 years down the line?
Well, first and foremost, we need to unlock the grid. So very immediate challenge would be to be able to move forward with an effective storage strategy, looking at the incorporation of battery energy storage and seeing how the role that plays, but also in terms of the integration of alternative technologies and alternative storage technologies and how those could be integrated in the grid. But this, again, going back to where I started, the 100% Renewable Energy Barbados Initiative was buttressed upon and platform upon upon energy security and energy independence for Barbadians, for the average Barbadian. So in the next 5 years, definitely what I will want to see is increased local participation, increased benefits to the average Barbadian, increased entrepreneurship opportunities, increased transition where we're seeing, look at the story of solar dynamics moving from solar thermal into now in terms of the integration of the work where they're doing in terms of energy efficiency, the work of Williams Solar in terms of being able to come in for Williams Industry and translate in terms of Williams Solar to have renewable energy, but the use in terms of other types of technologies. So for me, in terms of in the next 5 years, I want to see the greater participation of our locals. I want to see a sector that is not only that is for Barbadians, by Barbadians, where there's considerable local investment by our own. Our capital is being utilized from our non-bank financial institutions. And I also want to see where we are able to leverage those international companies that are coming in and participating in the space, where there's adequate benefit for us as our locals to transition our persons through the necessary skill sets in terms of helping them to drive their businesses. So that will be my goal in the next 5 years. And I just kudos to the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry for supporting BRIA and working with us through the number of committees, the Green Committee, in terms of which we sit, representation, and providing platforms like this to have the conversation continued in a very constructive and collaborative way, where partnership and meaningful engagement is going to be critical and key.
Commerce and Industry continues to be a trailblazer in this space, encouraging businesses, having those insightful conversations and meaningful collaborations, as you mentioned. So we must commend the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry for being the trailblazer in Barbados and encouraging businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of today's program. It has certainly been an insightful one. But Richard, I'm going to come to you very, very quickly. Your wrap up, your thoughts on the conversation, and any words of wisdom that you may want to part on anyone today.
Well, yes, I will piggyback on Misha a little bit here, because We would really look forward for the opening up of the grid. There are too many projects out there, lots of money, millions of dollars sitting down there on field, on grounds and on rooftops, waiting to be connected, waiting to be able to sell their stored energy and so on. And I would really like to see that happen in very quick order before the end of second quarter of this year. Really, it sounds unrealistic, but I'd like to see that happen. But yes, in terms of the industry, I am really excited about this industry. I will encourage more people to come on board, get educated, learn more about the industry. There are quite a few misconceptions out there, and places like BRIA, or there are other places people can go and obtain information in terms of where the industry, where it started, how it got started, where it has how it has transitioned, the growth that is taking place, and what lies ahead for the entire country. Because, yeah, one of the misconceptions is that renewable energy is only for big business and rich people, and that is not true. Misha made reference to the average Barbadian, the average householder, to be able to benefit from this industry. And I will encourage more people to come on board, more education, more information to be put out in the open, so that people have a clear understanding, better understanding of what our industry is, because any industry should benefit from top to bottom, every sector of society. And as part of this industry, our push is to take that forward and to make this industry beneficial to average Barbadian, to in every aspect of their lives. So that's my last tip.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Misha. Thank you, Rishi, for joining us today on this Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. It's been an exciting conversation. It's an educational conversation. We've gone from the historical context from which this industry has been built upon to the challenges faced, the opportunities gained, and some success stories all along the way. And if we're going to move forward, we certainly have to move forward together. Private sector, public sector, entrepreneurs, young people, older people, more experienced people, the education system, all hand in hand to build a better Barbados. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much. My name is Tahir Bulbulia, and it was a pleasure being your host for this program. So until next time, please be safe and God bless.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.